You may think of maybe a young couple snuggling, enjoying each other, satisfied with each other. But when you put spiritual intimacy, that transcends the physical world. And for a lot of us, it's sort of hard to picture that. The scripture that was read by Troy earlier in 2 Samuel chapter 7 was David's prayer, his prayer before God. And the occasion of this was God had just told King David that he was going to make his throne an eternal throne. And scripture says that David sat before the Lord, and basically he just talked with the Lord. And he says, "Who am I to deserve this kind of blessing?" And during his prayer, seven times he addressed God as, "O Lord God," if you're looking at Revised Standard Version, and the NIV is, "O Sovereign Lord." The Hebrew that's behind that is Adonai Jehovah. What he's doing, he is exalting God's majesty seven times. And 10 times in his prayer, he refers to himself as your servant, humbling himself before the Lord. And yet, with that master-servant relationship that David's talking about, he has a spiritual intimacy with his Heavenly Father. So much so that the Lord said of David that he is a man after my own heart. Where are you in your Christian walk? Do you have a spiritual intimacy with your Heavenly Father? Let's do a short personal evaluation. We should be able to place ourselves in one of these five categories. First, I don't really know much about God. Second one, I know about God from what others have told me. Third, I personally believe in the idea of God, but he's not truly real to me. God is a higher power, a lifestyle, or a set of rules to live by. Four, I am faithful to the principles and idea of God, but don't experience intimacy with him, or his presence is not very real in my life. And a fifth one, I enjoy an intimate personal relationship with God, and his presence is tangible, consistent, very evident, and satisfying. As Christians, most of us can identify with one of these statements, but I think very few can identify with the last one. I enjoy an intimate, personal relationship with God, and his presence is tangible, consistent, very evident, and satisfying. Is your relationship with your Heavenly Father satisfying? In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, this is a series of 107 questions as developed in the mid-1600s in England to make a statement of the Christian faith. And the first question out of those 107 is, what is a chief end of man? Basically, they're asking, what is your purpose? And the response is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Do you enjoy your relationship with your Lord and Savior? There's a saying I've come to identify with. It's often given at the end of the broadcast of sermons by John Piper. John Piper is a Baptist minister and author of several books, including The Passion of Jesus Christ, 50 Reasons Why Christ Came to Die. It's the book that we use during Lent, going over the 50 reasons. And if you ever want to hear some good sermons on the internet, he has his sermons posted on the internet at desiringgod.org. But his signature statement is, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. We all desire a tangible, intimate presence of God, but it so often seems elusive for most of us. Why is our relationship not satisfying? Is it God's fault that we don't have a satisfying, intimate spiritual relationship with Him? I think not. As always, the problem lies with us, not God. There's nothing simple about our relationship with God, but often our problems in this area is much more simple than we want to admit. We're simply not willing to discipline our lives enough to achieve an intimacy with God. What many of us want to do is to treat our spiritual relationship with God like a spiritual credit card. We want to constantly borrow on it, but just make minimum payments, or even no payment at all. How can we expect to have a close relationship with God when we don't put any effort into it? Which of these statements are true for you? My love for God is weak, as demonstrated by the amount of time I spend reading my Bible. My personal holiness is of little priority, as demonstrated by how infrequently I confess my sins. My understanding of God's nature is shallow, as demonstrated by what little time I spend worshiping Him. My flesh is more important than my spirit, as demonstrated by the amount of time I spend indulging it as opposed to feeding my spirit with godliness. My friendship with the Lord is neglected, as demonstrated by how little time I spend talking with Him. Do you notice a common thread in all these statements? Time, sacrifice, discipline. As Americans, we tend to want everything easy and fast and without sacrifice. God doesn't operate that way. We can't have the world and God too. We can't serve two masters. It's been said, defeated Christians have just enough world in them to make them miserable at church, and just enough church in them to make them miserable out in the world. To have a close relationship with God, it has to come from a desire in your heart, a deep desire, almost a desperation, like the desperation of a thirsty man in a hot desert wanting water, or the desperation of a freezing man seeking warmth. Something's been bothering me for the last few months, and it's one of those things that you always knew, but you just can't put your finger on it until somebody points it out to you. Just as the secular society has a crisis in absent fathers in the household, the church has a crisis in absent male spiritual leaders. It even came out in our discussions in Adult Vacation Bible School when we were discussing some scenarios about men and going to church and so forth. Some of the women said men think they're wimps if they go to church. They're wimps if they have any kind of spiritual relationship with God. It's just not a macho thing to do. I stepped out of my car at work a couple weeks ago. I work in the Army Special Operations Command headquarters building. There's a lot of godly people in there, but by the nature of the work they do, Special Forces, the leading edge of a global war on terrorism, they sort of project a macho image. So I got out of my car the other day in the parking lot, and right before me, I was shocked. I saw a blue, dirty blue BMW, and it had several bumper stickers on the back of the car. We've all seen cars like that, people trying to make a statement. And on the back of this car, one of the bumper stickers said, "No gods, no masters." Another bumper sticker said, no special rites for religions. And another said, praying is just another form of begging. And it had several other bumper stickers on there that I didn't read, but I just had an intense feeling of sadness for that person. But I think all of us, to some degree, and especially men, have a sense of unwillingness to humble ourselves before God. Statistics show that the least likely person to attend worship service on a Sunday morning is a male between the ages of 18 and 34. When I started working in civil service, the lieutenant colonel hired me. He was a crusty old guy that chewed on a cigar all day long. I heard him complain for about 2 years about his wife. Go home, don't have supper at night. She's at church doing all this church stuff. On the weekend, she's at church. And I just can't get her to do anything at the house. She's around, she's at church all the time, doing all these good works, praying for everybody. I just don't know what to do with her. But in the same office, you know, God works in strange ways. In the same office, there was another person, a co-worker, that was he was Hispanic. He's born and raised a Roman Catholic that converted to Judaism. And all day long, he was talking about Jewish rituals. He kept the Sabbath. And he's telling me about all the significance of the Jewish rituals and how they apply to Christianity and stuff. It's sort of balanced in the office. I get it from both sides. So God has worked several miracles like that in our lives to balance things out. But the few times I tried to talk to my boss about going to church or try to talk to him about Jesus Christ, he says, I don't need any of that stuff. My wife does all that. She prays. She does good works. That's enough for the whole family. We're all covered. Well, men, don't buy into that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 tells us that each of us are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And I often wondered about the influence my boss had on his children. He had, I think, three children, and I think all of them were preteens at that time. Wonderful kids. And I know the mother tried the best she could with them, but I often wondered what kind of influence his attitude had on his children. In a recent study of the parents' influence on children going to church, the study found that if a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife is, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. Same study, if a father goes to church regularly, regardless of the practice of the mother, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will become churchgoers. That's just astonishing to me, the influence that a father has on his family. And if this is a valid and accurate study, it's just astonishing. Another study conducted by the Barna Research Group, it's a group that does studies only on religious things, they revealed another startling statistic about a man's influence on his family. What they found was when a child is the first person in the family to come to faith, the rest of the family will follow 17% of the time. When a woman or a mother is the first person in the family to come to faith, the rest of the family will follow 31% of the time. But when a man or father is the first person in the family to come to faith, the rest of the family will follow 93% of the time. Just astonishing. That tells us where our problem is in our churches nowadays. We have absent male spiritual leaders. And where do we get the idea that men are wimps when they go to church or if they have a spiritual relationship with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Didn't come from the Bible. And I think it's only probably developed in the last 50 or 60 years. Men in the Bible, Moses, he talked face to face with God. Led millions of people in the wilderness. Joshua, spiritual warrior, took them into the promised land and defeated all their enemies. David, we just talked about, man after God's own heart. He's a warrior, conquered all kind of nations around him. Elijah, taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire. That's how close a relationship he had with God. Peter and Paul, New Testament spiritual warriors, close relationship with God. None of them are wimps. I don't think you can be a real man unless you have a spiritual relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we are to enjoy God forever, then we'd better get to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right now, before it's too late. Acts 17, 30 and 31 tells us, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. John 5:22, Jesus tells us, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Matthew 7:21-23, Jesus tells us, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Matthew 10:32-33, Jesus tells us, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And finally in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15-17. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne with grace and confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This day, I ask you to evaluate your own relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're not spending enough time in God's Word, sacrifice a little bit of your time and read the Bible daily. If you have unconfessed sins, fall on your knees before the Lord. Go in the closet and shut the door. Confess your sins before your Lord and Savior. Spend time in worship with Him. Spend more time in worship with Him. If you're not coming to Sunday school, only coming to worship service, consider coming to Sunday school to increase your knowledge of the Scriptures. Pursue godliness moment by moment. Constantly praying before the Lord. Everything you do, evaluate it against the Word of God. What would God have me to do in this case? Talk to God. Talk to Him again. Talk some more. Then be still and listen. If you have trouble in any of these areas, seek out fellow Christians to support you with prayer and encouragement in your quest for more spiritual intimacy with your Father. Do this for your church, for your family, for yourself, but most of all, do it to glorify God. Because God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in Him. Let's pray. Father, give us desire in our heart to draw close to You, to enjoy Your presence, to experience the superior satisfaction of a godly life in which we daily commune with You. Convict us of our responsibilities to build up spiritually in the home and in the church through our increasingly closer, intimate, and personal relationship with You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.